Okay, so welcome everybody to the Bucks UK AGM and Summer Social. And this year we're going to have a bit of a fun competition. We're going to have our own version of Fighting Talk, which is Buccaneers Fighting Squawk. And we've got three contestants lined up, actually ready to go. We've got Tom the Hammer Lawrence. We've got Gary the Judge Butley and Phil the Milkman Jones. Welcome along. So we're going to have four rounds, which you've of questions, which we get each of you to answer back your thoughts on, and then we've got a final fifth round, which we'll come on to, which you'll be asked to defend the indefensible. We'll get there. We've got all of our members watching online, and they're going to be feeding in comments and thumbs up and thumb downs, boos, likes, cheers, comments back as we go. So we'll feed some of those comments in as we go. So good luck to you all, gentlemen. It's all a good bit of fun. So looking forward to see what you've got to say. And we're going to go first with Tom with question number one, which is Brady is undoubtedly the GOAT. Now he's a Bucs Super Bowl winner. But other than Brady, who would you say is the Bucs' next best quarterback of all time?
So I've been a fan since 2010. So my sort of quarterbacks that I've been exposed to as a Bucks fan haven't been the best, if I'm honest, until Tom Brady. So I'm kind of going down one I've seen, and that would be Jameis as my choice. And the reason I chose Jameis for a variety of reasons. First of all, he's the only quarterback we've ever had, the only quarterback at the time in NFL history for 4,000 yards in his first 2 years. Despite his interception and turnover concerns, he still threw the yardage he threw every single year was exceptional, really. The amount of times in the final season that he had to throw, I think he had over 600 passing attempts in his final season. I think if anyone's going to throw over 600 times, they've got to be expected to throw a few interceptions, a few turnovers. His completion percentage was always pretty good. It was always around 60% or higher. And yeah, I think even when you go through past players or past quarterbacks that I was looking through, he wasn't too dissimilar. Sack numbers were still at similar rates to sort of Dilfer and to Testaverde. And yeah, his pass, his like yardage per game was always really, really high per attempt. So I think he's always been exposed to having coaches and schemes that asked him to throw for big, big numbers. So I think it kind of comes with that side that he's going to make errors because he's been forced to throw. We were chasing a lot of games. I think I looked up our sort of the defense every single year that he was in the bottom half every single time he was quarterback. Our offensive line was always sort of in the bottom half, other than his final season, funnily enough, when he got most interceptions. But yeah, that's my choice. It's Jameis for me, just
That's a
because of
brave
the.
run there, Tom. As someone's already put, is we're not yet onto the defend the indefensible round. But
I knew it'd be
I hear what
controversial,
you're
but yeah.
saying. That's a good one. Gary, down to you. Who do you think's our quarterback?
Well, just while Tom was speaking, I was racking my brains, going on Tom's theory. I go all the back to 1985. The first quarterback I saw was Steve Deberg. He had a pretty good career. You could say Brad Johnson because he won us the Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl. I agree completely with the comment about Jameis, but I'd also throw in another name that was also a Heisman Trophy winner, that was also drafted first overall, very similar in size, and also someone who had a habit of chucking the ball to the guys in the wrong colour shirts, and that was Vinny Testaverde. The one good thing that Vinny Testaverde has got going for him, he has had the somewhat dubious honour of shaking that hand. Believe it or believe it not. They also obviously had eye problems because Vinny was well known to be colourblind. Jameis had LASIK surgery at the end of the whatever season it was that he finished with the Buccaneers. And I think that'll come back. To bite us on the bum, because I think if he can actually see where he's throwing to, it might well help him a little bit. I also thought about a guy called Jack Thompson, who's got the best nickname of all time. He was the throw-in Samoan, which I thought was fantastic. But I think my answer has got to be, I've gone through just about every quarterback in the book here, But I think my answer has got to be another Heisman Trophy winner. And he was the Buccaneers' first ever quarterback. He started 12 of the 14 games in the first season the Buccaneers were in existence, played in the other two as well, and lost every single one. From there, went on to a stellar coaching career. So I think the GOAT of quarterbacks has got to be Steve Spurrier.
And I'm going, a lot of great names there from Buccaneers history. There was a lot of love on the chat going through that with Steve DeBurvini. So, you know, it's a brave choice for somebody that's lost so many Bucs games.
Well, there you go. Steve DeBurg had a really long career. And as I say, I've got a soft spot for him because he was QB at the very first game I ever went to back in the mid-80s.
Phil, what are you up to? Where do you see our best quarterback being?
Well, I can't believe what I'm hearing here. Be quite honest, with the greatest of respect. Vinny, you used to have a great thing about saying about Vinny, you can't throw the ball while you're sitting on your arse. And that sort of applied to Vinny Testaverde. I just, you know, and I don't want to even comment about the Jameis one. But I just cannot believe that neither, I mean, I'm picking 30 and I thought there's no chance that these two are going to miss this one out. But there's no doubt in my mind, this next best quarterback is definitely Doug Williams, without a shadow of a doubt. We have a record at Tampa Bay of giving away quarterbacks and then they go and win in Super Bowls. You know, we've had Trent Dilfer, a young bloke called Steve Young, and Doug Williams was another one. He played for four seasons. He threw 73 touchdowns. And don't forget, when he started in 1978, we were just losing for fun. We get him, and for five seasons, we took us to the playoffs. So we've gone from that complete joke of a franchise to going to three playoffs in 5 years with Doug Williams. And he would have had a stellar career had Mr. Culverhouse decided to open his wallet and pay him. But he decided not to. And he nipped off the USFL. And then obviously we all know went to Washington Redskins where he won Super Bowl and MVP. And somebody's put here Rob Johnson. Oh, please. But you know, Doug Williams, there's only one choice in this one, as far as I can see. Yeah,
it looks like you've got the popular vote on the chat at the minute. I'm summing it up. Dominic says the milkman delivers, and I think you've dived straight in there. So that's a cracking answer. And I think we've got to give that first round to you. You've definitely got everybody on the side, even though, as Kieran Cushing quite rightly, Chris Sims didn't get a mention, and he did give his spleen for the Bucks. So that's a great opening round. That was really good. I enjoyed that, and a lot of debate, and I'm sure it's one that we potentially could go on for a long time on. You know, the fact that we've got Tom Brady now, no one would have dreamed that a couple of years ago, and he certainly turned the Bucks around. So let's go on to the second question, which is, what regular season fixture do you want to see the Bucs win most next year? So let's start with Gary on that one.
Okay, well, again, some fairly obvious answers. The Saints, because, you know, we hate the Saints. The Bills, that's going to be a cracking game. The Panthers, again, because everybody hates the Panthers. The Patriots, yeah, that'll be a big game. Love to win that one, obviously. A little story on the Patriots. Tim Lewis and I were at a game about 5 years ago. Bucks are on offense. Almost get the 10 yards. Out come the chain gang. Tim Lewis stands up, shouts at the top of his voice, "Use the Patriots chain. It's only 9.5 yards long."
Actually, I was at that game, yeah.
So that always tickled me. But the one game that we've got to win, and I really want to see us win, we're playing yet again this year, the Chicago Bears. We played them twice a year when back in the day in the old black and blue division. We've got a diabolical record against them. We played them 60 times, and they beat us exactly twice as many times as we've won. It's 20-40. They beat us last year, so it'd be good to get revenge. Phil, you were at the game in 2018, yeah, as indeed was I, sitting up there in the nosebleed seats at Soldier Field, watching an absolute arse-kicking that we got. If you remember, it was the game that Jameis came back after his three-game suspension. I've also got a good mate who's a Bears fan, so I'd love to be able to take the mick out of him. So it would be the Bears. I've mentioned a few reasons. The main reason that I want to see us beat the Bears is because if this virus will do one and Mr. Johnson and Mr. Biden will get together and decide that we can go over, I'm going to be there.
Hey, well done, Gary. Yeah, I remember I was there with you all of that too, 2018 game. That was a horrible experience. I actually love Soldier Field, but oh, we've had some terrible results against them.
Well, and that being probably the worst. We've had a couple of good ones. The very first game at Raymond James, I was there for that one as well. We won that one. But that one in 2018 was just an ass-kicking of the worst possible kind.
Phil, over to you then. Who do you want to see us beat most
well,
next year?
Well, it's like Gary. I mean, my first thoughts would have been the Patriots game because I think it's great that Tom Brady's come and answered all the critics. Like, it's fantastic. Is it Belichick? Is it Brady? Well, that question's been answered. But the game that I desperately would like to win, because I think this team are probably our could, if we make it to the Super Bowl, well, no, when we make it to the Super Bowl next year, I think we could well be playing the Buffalo Bills. I think they're a very, very good team in the making, and I think that they're going to rival the Chiefs for the AFC title. That will just show us how far we've gone if we beat them. And they, and let's face it, the Bills, I think, have got one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL in Josh Allen. And so they've signed some good free agents. They've got, so they picked some good ones last year. So yeah, it's the Bills for me. That will be a big measure of how much character we've got we've gone with this game. But yeah. And of course, obviously the Saints, but that's only because one of my biggest down moment of last year is when Jameis threw that touchdown against us. I personally wanted to shove the ball where the sun doesn't shine with that one. But yeah, no, it's the Bills for me. Got to beat the Bills.
So Tom, over to you. Obviously, last round you went for Jameis.
Yeah.
Are you going to see him put on his backside again, or where do you see our best win coming from?
Well, yeah, same as Gary and Phil both said. I obviously want every team in our division. I want to beat them, but I think we've got the better of them this season. I think all three teams in our division aren't as strong as we are, so I think we've got all of them. I'm going to go the same route as Phil, actually. My vote was the Buffalo Bills. It's as we get to sort of the business end of the season, I think they're probably, with us, probably the most complete team in the NFL. They've had players that have been sort of in place for a couple of years now. Josh Allen made huge improvements last season. And I think he'll continue to make huge improvements this season. And for me personally, I've got a friend who lives in Canada who gives me no end of grief every single time we've played the Bills over the last few years. And I don't remember the time I've been able to give him a bit of stick. So I want to give him some back. So yeah, it's the Bills for me, just similar reasons as Phil, and just for the personal reason of I've got a friend who is a big Bills fan who I want to give something back to. Not that I haven't been able to over the last year or so, but yeah, a bit more would be good.
Fine. So that was a tough one. I can't believe none of you went for the Pats or the Saints. And I actually hate the Panthers as well, really. So, but it shows a sign that actually we're looking to actually measure our successes against how well we're doing and the positives of reaching a Super Bowl, which I think is a world away from probably where we would have been a few seasons ago. So, love your answers, guys. That's good. It shows just how far this team is moving and our expectations for next year. So, on to the next one then. This is our members' question. So, this has come from JD on the forum. And it's around, are you in favour of the throwback uniforms coming back? And an add-on to that is, if you could change our uniform to any other club in world sport, whose would it be? So, Phil, we'll start off with you this time.
Well, yes, my answer to the question is, do I like the throwback uniform? Yes, not particularly in the guise of just the orange. I'd like to see, you know, some sort of throwback uniform with, with plenty of orange and white. But, yeah, I do like the throwback uniform. So, it's sort of, I'm all in favour of it. But what team would I like to see? Well, I've thought about this all week, and it's been a real tricky question, and I had a bit of help with this one, I'll have to be quite honest. But I can't think of a team that I'd like to see us in But I think whatever the uniform is, it's got to be blue, red with some stars, because we're America's team now.
Yeah, farewell to Dallas. They had their chance. They blew it. And the Bucks are America's favourites now. Absolutely love that. Tom, where do you see it going?
Yeah, with the throwbacks, I'm a big fan of the throwbacks. I'm going to use Kieran's permanently banned word. Apparently, the creamsicles for me were, I love them. I'm a big fan of an orange kit as it is. So, yeah, I would love to have them back. I think if we can next season with the change helmets, that'd be great to sort of have another jersey to sort of get behind the team with. In terms of another sporting team, I think everyone would expect me, who's heard me talk on the forum and things like that, would be, I'd say, West Ham. But actually, I'm not going to go with a West Ham kit because, yeah, I think that's sort of a personal thing for my football team. But I've always been a big fan of the AS Roma kits, this sort of maroon and orange, which would kind of fit in with the Bucks, with the old kits, the throwback kits. So I think, yeah, the AS Roma would be a team that, if we could have any other sporting team in the world, it would probably be theirs. Quite unique.
Thanks, Tom. Gary?
Throwbacks, absolutely. Yeah, can't wait. Again, soft spot, going back to when I first started watching and supporting the Bucks. They were obviously wearing orange. That first game I went to, the very next day I went out and bought a James Wilder shirt and wore it for the next 2 weeks until it sort of fell off my back. I've never worn it again since, because you don't see people in this country wearing orange. This was from JD, wasn't it? JD back in the day was a big Nuneaton Borough fan. So if I was going to go to an alternative, perhaps a blue and white striped, sort of similar to the old Borough colours. There's been some shockers over the years. I mean, there's some rugby clubs that have had pink ones. Man United had a grey one, didn't they? And they complained they couldn't see each other. Perhaps we should go to grey and hope it's the opposition that can't see us. I've tried to think of a humorous answer. So I've come up with one for the ladies. This is specifically for the ladies and for Phil. And if there was to be an alternative uniform, it would have to be the American men's beach volleyball team.
Can I just say, this question has bothered me all week, and I threw it open in the pub last night with some of the lads. They suggested green and gold for some reason I can't even think of.
Gary, as you started out there with the orange and that, I thought you were going all the way for Blackpool.
Sorry, I don't understand. What's that word mean, Blackpool?
Apparently there used to be a football team a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so excellent, love it. And I absolutely love, yeah, I mean, Buccaneers, America's team. I can't think of anything better. I don't know about you guys, but absolutely, everybody loves us now. So too, right. Right, and so our fourth question then. We're nearly through it. If you could put a player from any other team in the Bucks Ring of Honour, who would it be and why? So let's start with Tom on that one.
Okay. So my one, it could be, again, another quite controversial one. I'm going to go for Drew Brees. And the reason I'm going for Drew Brees is because for 14 years, he's continually raised the hopes of the Saints fans. And he's only ever managed to win one Super Bowl. And Tom Brady turned up for a year, and he did that in a year at the Bucks. And not only that, but the last time he played us, he actually threw three interceptions, and his final throw for the Saints was the Bucks player. So I think he deserves a place in our Hall of Fame, in our Ring of Honor, just for continually letting the Saints down, and then for helping us out as well in his final appearance.
That's a good call. I love that one. Gary?
Well, if you'd have asked me 18 months ago, I'd have said Tom Brady, of course, because the one thing that he did was show that you need a quarterback. So for another team's quarterback to go in our Ring of Honor, perhaps Elway, Montana, Peyton Manning, anybody like that, anybody who could play the position, we could solve every problem we've ever had on the field by putting a guy called Al Riveron on the Ring of Honor. If you don't know who he is, he's head of the NFL referees. So it'd be quite nice to get him on side. if we put Devin Hester on, that would have meant that we'd solved our kicking return woes that we've had ever since Carl the Truth Williams retired. But probably the one I would put on, I would answer the curse of Matt Bryant, and I would put Adam Vinatieri in the Ring of Honor, because if we had him, we wouldn't have had all the kicking problems we've had over the years, and we wouldn't have drafted Roberto Aguayo. So we could have drafted somebody who could actually play the game.
That's a good call. Okay, Phil.
Well, for me, somebody's already stolen my thunder on the chat room, actually, when I said, sorry. If I had to pick one player, it'd be Brett Favre. It's got to be Brett Favre. I mean, some of the battles that we had with him, when we were playing them twice a year, every year, some of the battles we had with him were just incredible. I mean, him and Warren Sapp going at it was absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. But he's been one of the best quarterbacks. I think, you know, he's always exciting to watch. He basically led that team, because he never had any superstars to throw to, did he? You know, I honestly think that Brett Favre, I've got a lot of time for him. I just like him as well. But I was just thinking earlier on as well, that one player I would like to see who is a Buccaneer on this Ring of Honor, and this has been serious for a minute, is Warwick Dunn. Because not only is he our third of the best running back, but his charity work is just second to none. I mean, I was reading this hour ago. I mean, he's still doing a very, you know, this foundation he's got by supplying houses to, you know, these women that have been widowed. It's just incredible. And I just think he's a role model for all sportsmen, to be quite honest.
Good call. Like that.
Okay.
So you could say Atlanta Falcons running back Warwick Dunn if you want as well.
Oh, I don't know. Could we ever have a Falcon on our board? Oh, I don't know. But I do like the thought of Drew Brees, and now he's helped us out, really. I think that was a good I think there's nothing worse than nothing better than seeing Drew Brees throw an interception, is there, to a Bucks defense player. So absolutely loving that. Well done, guys. I think that was a pretty good set of questions there. We're going to move on to the final round now, which is defend the indefensible. So I'm going to give each of you a statement, and you've got to defend it with all your might, no matter how you feel about it. So we're going to start off with Tom, and ready to respond to this. So Gronk is a better masked dancer and wrestler than he'll ever be an NFL player. So he should quit now and go and host a TV show just like Aaron Rodgers.
I totally agree with that. I think if you look at Gronk, you look at his wrestling career, he was in, he won a belt, he got out. You know, it's simple as that. He completed all he needs to complete over there. And even when he left, he still held the belt when he left wrestling. So I think, definitely he's easily a better wrestler than he is a tight end. And I think, in terms of hosting a TV show, he'd be a fantastic host. And I do actually truly believe he would be a fun host to have, actually. He's a personality. He gets on with everyone, seemingly. And I'm sure he could have a few of the Bucks boys come and help him out. Him and Tom Brady is a bit of a double act. Always works well on YouTube and on the things on social media. So, yeah, I think Gronk would definitely make a better TV host and a wrestler than he would an NFL tight end.
Well done, mate. Tom, that's a great answer. Gary, it's your turn now. This is going to be a tough one. The next Bucks Ring of Honor inductee should be Chris Conte.
Chris Conte was the best safety this organisation has ever had. I mean, he had one minor blip where, was it James Washington, sort of just gave him a little shove and he tripped over his shoelaces. But apart from that, the guy was stellar. How many interceptions did he have? I can't even remember them all. There were so many. How many tackles for loss did he have? Again, so many, I can't even remember. It's not like we've had any other decent safeties. Antoine Winfield, who the hell is he? Chris Conte all day long. Dexter Jackson, Super Bowl MVP, but shouldn't have been. Should have been Chris Conte. He certainly would have been if he'd ever got to a Super Bowl. So Chris Conte, for me, best safety, that franchise has ever had. If he's not in the Ring of Honor in the next 2 or 3 years, I will personally walk into Joel Glazer's office and threaten him with something or other to get him to put him in. Got to be the man.
Right on, Gary. That was real gusto there. As he loved your desire for that one. So, Phil, this is going to be an easy one for you, to be honest. So we all know, actually, at the end of the day, you're just a Bucks glory hunter. And your biggest true loves, really, are the Eagles football team and the Eagles group. So tell us what's so special about both of those.
Oh, the Eagles or something else. I mean, the Eagles...
Phil, take it easy.
Yeah, is... I've already gone. The Eagles are probably the define the what the NFL is all about. They are one of the hardest natural gusto teams that the NFL has ever seen. Absolutely superb team with some of the nicest, friendliest supporters you ever can meet when you go into a game. And why they don't get the credit that they deserve, is just totally beyond me. The Eagles as a pop group are probably what I define as one of the icons of American music. They have... crying out loud. They have... ripped up the history book when it comes to music. Elvis Presley, nothing. Bruce Springsteen, not in the same category. But no, for me, the Eagles will always be a symbol of American music. Struggling, Gareth, you've got no idea how badly I'm struggling with this one.
Well done, Phil. That was a brave effort. I absolutely loved that. It was for sheer entertainment value. That was brilliant. You must have been quite devastated when we shut down Veterans Field.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah, absolutely, totally. But we were very lucky. We were very lucky winning that game. Donovan was injured, and be quite honest, he shouldn't really, if he'd have played his full strength, he would no chance of winning. And the fact is, we moved into our new stadium, and the beat us there again was by about 30 points. It was just pure luck. So I think that's very unfair, to actually remember the fact is that we actually beat them in the last game in their old stadium and beat them for the first game in their new stadium.
Brilliant. I think well done, everybody. Squid. I think everyone deserves a round of applause. I think we've got all of our members all watching on the chat. I think everyone should now drop down on the chat who they think is the winner of that. What was a fantastic battle. So if you want to put down who you think's won, was it Tom, was it Gary, or was it Phil? Let us know what you think. We'll count up the scores and we'll nominate the winner. But well done, guys. Absolutely fantastic effort from you all. Tom looks like he's getting the votes in a minute.
There I go.
Oh, yeah. Tom's looking like the man. Phil's trying to creep in for his Eagle defence, but everyone's loving Tom out there. So I'm going to dive in there. Well done, Tom. Fantastic effort. Well done. Yeah. That was a brilliant show. Well done, you all, for doing that. That was brilliant. Thanks, everybody. Good bit of fun. Hope you enjoyed that today. And we'll catch up with you soon. Well done. Go Bucks.